So what's a blink town? What's a blink town? Anybody know what a blink town is?
You go through in about 2 seconds.
Yes, or sneeze, right? If you sneeze or blink, you miss it, right? I grew up in southern Ontario, and there's lots of blink towns in southern Ontario. One of my favorites is one called Punky Doodles Corners. Punky Doodles. Anyone ever heard of Punky Doodles Corners? I wondered if Tom may have heard of it, because I knew Tom lived in that general area. Yes, it's right near Baden. Not helpful, right? You know where Baden is? Good for you. All right, good for you. So this morning we're talking about a blink book in the Bible. We're talking about one of those books in the Bible where, like, you're turning your pages and you're like, oh, I'm in Revelation. Isn't there something between, Hebrews and Revelation? Well, there's a few books there, right? But, I mean, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, they're like one page in the Bible. Mind doing that, Jeff? Don't move. Don't blink. Okay? All right? So, 3 John, right? What's 3 John all about? And it's probably a book that we need to, as a word I've used many times, is undustify. Right? One of the books in the Bible that's collected dust because we haven't been there for a while. And so I hope you had a chance, if you get the emails, to read it last night. And I think it's a good Father's Day message because it deals with the testimony of three men. Four, if we count John, but three men. Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. Two out of three are good, the one not so much, right? And so our theme, as I mentioned earlier, is walking with God this year. And so we want to talk about what does it mean to walk in the truth. And that's what the message of 3 John is all about. And the two of them were walking in the truth, and one clearly was not. Even though, interesting enough, Diotrephes was a leader in the church. And he wasn't walking in the truth. So the word testify, the word testimony, appears numerous times in this letter. So the question we want to ask ourselves this morning is, what's our testimony? Whether men or women, what is our testimony? What are people saying about us now? Is it a positive thing? Is it a negative thing? And then what will they say about us when our life is over? Are we walking in the truth of God's word? Is it evident in our life? So 3 John was written primarily to a man named Gaius, probably an elder in his church, thanking him for hosting traveling Christian teachers. So itinerant teachers would travel around and teach at various churches. And so as they travel around, of course, they need places to stay. And Gaius was someone who opened his home and allowed these people to stay in his home, and he'd feed them and house them for a day, maybe a week, I don't know how long. But that's what he was known for. In 2 John, a letter written to, John says an unnamed lady, so we're not sure if she was a person in the church or the church met at her home, or actually it's a pseudonym for a specific church. It also was written about, the subject was also about hosting traveling teachers. Unfortunately, in 2 John, they were not discerning enough and had inadvertently hosted false teachers and invited them to stay in their home. And so 2 John was written to be careful about that. But here Gaius was commended because he walked in the truth and used the truth of God's word and wisdom to discern between the true and the false. So he was walking in the truth, and as a result was building up the local church there. But there was someone else who was there as well, and his name was Diotrephes, and we'll get to him in just a minute. But we'll start with Gaius. So he's commended by John for walking in the truth, and I would think most of us would like to be commended for walking in the truth. I think everyone would say, yes, I would like to know that's what I am doing, and be commended that way, that would be your testimony. And so John commends him because he has actually seen Gaius, he knows Gaius personally, and he also has heard from others how Gaius is walking in the truth. Well, how are we doing? So the question we want to ask us, first question we want to ask ourselves this morning is, are people seeing the truth in you and me? So John begins the letter He says to Gaius, he says he loved him in the truth, which is referring to their mutual relationship with Jesus, through faith in Jesus and their love for the Word of God. And John is greatly encouraged because Gaius, he says, is faithful to the truth and continues to walk in the truth. And this thrills John, and John writes, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, you know, the people that he's had opportunity to minister to and impart spiritual truths, are walking in the truth. So when you and I are obeying the Word of God and we're applying it to our life, the truth is noticeable, becomes noticeable in our life. As a pastor, there's nothing that brings me more joy than to see that very thing, to see people walking in the truth, obeying Jesus Christ, fulfilling God's desires for their life. As a Christian parent, there's nothing that brings you more joy than to see and hear that your kids are growing and walking with Jesus. So John heard about Gaius from other believers, and they had come to John and said, hey, Gaius is faithful to the truth. These are the things that he is doing. And so they saw it lived out the way in the way he conducted himself with believers as well as with unbelievers. He was consistent in his walk with God. And John prays, he prays here, that Gaius would be as physically healthy as he was spiritually. What an interesting thing to pray for people. Think about that for a minute. Am I more physically healthy than spiritually healthy? Now, depending on the time of our life, right? Some of us could be more, obviously more so or less so than the other. But is it interesting, right? What do we spend more time on in our life? The physical or the spiritual? Being physically healthy or spiritually healthy? We need to have a good healthy balance. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, he said, train yourself to be godly. And the word train there is the word that we get gymnastics for. He says, gymnasticize yourself to be fit? No, godly. He says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And then in verses 5 to 8, we read about some of the specific reasons why John was overjoyed with Gaius walking in the truth. Because when we walk in the truth, not only is it noticeable, there's going to be times where it stands out. Like there are things that we do, we respond, we react in a way that is clearly showing that we're walking with God. And the thing that was noticed by John and others was the fact that Gaius was generous. He was hospitable. He invited and welcomed people who he didn't even know were into his home who were trusting God to meet their needs. And that would have meant feeding them, giving them a place to stay, you know, showing he was supporting God in what they were doing. And, of course, hospitality is a great thing to do, but it's not as easy to do when you don't know the people that you're hosting for, right? That's a challenge, right? Total strangers coming, I mean, you know they know the Lord, which is wonderful, and that is a great, right, great common denominator that really works well. We've all experienced that, of course, meeting total strangers, and all of a sudden we're united in Christ, and we have that, right? But it's easier to give than it is to open our home to total strangers, or sometimes even each other. I mean, how often, or when was the last time we invited someone over, even someone we knew that were believers, into our house for a meal, or had someone stay at our house that wasn't family for a night or two? Well, you know, that's work, isn't it? No. Yes. Well, the way we look at it, we think it's work, right? It's work. It's going to cost us money. It's going to cost us time. But who cares, right? It's a blessing. It's a blessing to do this for people who know the Lord especially, and you get to share God with them and develop some great new relationships in our life. And I hope that you do that. I hope you want to do that. So Gaius hosted these people, and it says he sent them on their way in a manner worthy of the Lord. So how do we treat each other? How do we treat other believers? that we invite into our homes in a manner worthy of the Lord? Well, I think very simplistically, we would treat them as if Jesus came to our house. Treat them as if Jesus came to our house for dinner. That means that everything has to be just right before Jesus comes, right? No. No, it doesn't have to be just right. That's not what Jesus is all concerned about, right? He wants to know us. He wants to get to know us. So to do something in a manner worthy of the Lord, I think, means to serve in a way that God is made known, that God is the center of this all, to encourage each other in our walk with God, right? Serving by faith, believing that our time together spent in fellowship or in prayer or talking about the Word of God is more important than what it is we're going to eat or how our house looks when people come over. So Gaius walked consistent in the truth. It was noticeable even on a day-to-day basis, and every now and then it stood out. Why? Because he was willing to make sacrifices. He was willing to make sacrifices. And so when you and I take the time and use our homes to invite each other or missionaries or people in ministry into our homes, what are we doing? We're encouraging them in their work. I mean, when we give towards ministries and missions, we partner with them. We partner with God in reaching people for Christ or in helping ministries and churches grow, of course. But it does mean making sacrifices at times. And I'm not even talking about financial sacrifices. I'm talking about the sacrifice of time. And I think that's the hardest thing for us to give up is the sacrifice of time. And how often do we use time as an excuse not to help people out or minister to people, even having them simply in our home? It's interesting that you don't have to be spiritually gifted to be hospitable. We are all commanded to be hospitable. This is an interesting passage, 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." What an interesting thing to say. The end of all things is near, so be hospitable. That's what Peter's saying, one of the things he's saying. And do it without grumbling. Why? Well, lots of reasons. I mean, opportunities to serve. If the end of all things is near, that means we only have so much time to use the resources God has given us to help people mature and grow in Christ and to reach other people in Christ. We don't know how much longer we have individually or collectively. Don't grumble because it's going to cost you, yes, financially, but time, right? Again, in time. And so, do it when we're able, because there comes a time in life when we're just not able to do these things as well. And don't come to the end of your life saying, "I wish I had been more open and hospitable and using the resources that God has blessed me with to help others mature and grow in Christ." So the question after looking at Gaius is, are people seeing the truth in you and I? That our faith in Jesus is genuine and real, that changes the way we talk, it changes the way we act, that we're using our resources and our gifts in a way that honors God. Is it noticeable, and does it even stand out on occasion? Not because we want to be made known, but because we want people to see and be blessed by God through us. So that's Gaius. So John has someone else he wants to talk about. His name is Diotrephes. And he does not have a commendation for him. He has a condemnation for him. He says, "We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth." He says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. So here's another question we need to ask of ourselves this morning from the passage is, are people seeing negative qualities in us? Are we a Diotrephes type of a person that people are seeing more negative than positive things? I mean, none of us are perfect. We all display negative tendencies at times, but is it the usual, right? Is that what people consistently see? Are we someone who's very critical and tears people down and is more of a destroyer than a builder? See, John warned Gaius in the church about Diotrephes, right? He says, who was not walking according to the truth, and he wanted to make himself the focus. So if we want to avoid leaving behind a testimony of negativity, there's a couple of things we can do. First of all, don't make ourselves a center. Don't make it all about you or me, right? John showed his love for God and his love for the people of God and love for the truth by warning the church about such people like Diotrephes. And he had already written, John says he had already written a letter to the church about Diotrephes, but surprise, surprise, the letter didn't get there. Why not? Because Diotrephes made sure no one saw the letter. And it says he loved to be first. And love to be first is not a good thing, right? He wanted the attention. He had to control everything. And I often find myself reminding myself of Psalm 115:1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. You know, sometimes we can get overly excited about maybe something we're doing or a ministry we're involved in, and it becomes our focus. And we're only concerned about our little piece of the kingdom. And if no one's interested in what we're doing, then we don't really have a whole lot of time for them. And they don't pay attention. You know, we don't pay attention to other things that are going on. We're just all focused in our little window of the world, and that's our goal. And that's kind of sad because, you know, that's not what ministry is about. We need to be careful to make sure God is the center of all of our ministries. You know, a good verse to remind ourselves in all the time is 1 Corinthians 10:31, which I have said so many times in this church, right? Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, finish it. Do it all for the glory of God, right? Do it all for the glory of God. Am I doing this? Are we doing this for the glory of God or the glory of ourselves? So John tried to rebuke Diotrephes and show him the error of his ways, but it says he had nothing, he wanted nothing to do with us. He refused to submit to John. John's the elder. He is the last living apostle at this time. And Diotrephes was not willing to let go of control. John's going to come. He was going to confront Diotrephes for his malicious slander of the church leadership. John was willing to do the hard thing here, right? To confront spiritual error. And that's hard. That's very hard to do. We are reminded in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is profitable for doctrine. And then it says, for reproof and correction and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't think we like those two words, all right? Reproof or correction. We don't like to do it. We don't like to be reproved or corrected. But if we're not, right, we are not thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need that in our lives. We need to do that on occasion for each other. You have to wonder how Diotrephes got into the leadership position that he got himself into. I mean, maybe he started out well. Maybe he was a good servant leader, and yet got careless in his walk with God, walk with Jesus over time. Maybe he's a smooth talker, friendly, persuasive. We don't know, right? We don't know. But, you know, over time, he got hard, he got self-righteous, maybe he started manipulating people. I mean, maybe he was hurt. maybe he was hurt and held a grudge against someone, and that just ate away at him for the longest time. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to be that nice, kind guy anymore. He says, they aren't nice to me, so I'm going to respond reciprocally, which is not a godly thing to do. We know that, right? So Diotrephes was not allowing traveling teachers to come in and teach. Why? Because he didn't want their message interfering with his control over the church. And it says he even put them out of the church because he didn't want to hear. He didn't want to hear the truth and thus show him for who he was. The Diotrepheses are rare, but they are out there. And so we need to be careful that our own desires to have things done our way doesn't control or doesn't destroy the work of God. So how can we avoid making sure we don't go down that path? Well, verse 11 tells us to seek to do good, right? Do good for others. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone that does what is good is from God. Anyone that does what is evil has not seen God. What needs do we notice around us, right? What needs have you noticed in the people around you? Are we noticing? Are we listening? Are we listening when people talk to us? We don't like to advertise our needs. I get it. But the funny thing is, we're all more than willing to help anybody out with any need that they have. So when you and I say, no, I have no needs, right? We're really robbing each other of the opportunity to minister to us, right? To do good. You know, I don't think Diotrephes woke up one morning and said to himself, you know what, I'm not going to do good anymore, I'm going to do evil. You know, it doesn't usually happen, right? It's usually a process over time, over hurt, over unexpected, desires or expectations. For whatever reason, he went down this bad path, and it was difficult for people to confront him. But James 4:17 reminds us, he says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. I don't know. That verse is not on my fridge, right? You know, it's one of those verses I'm like, wow, right? Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. And sin is evil. And I don't want to do evil. I'd rather do good. I think we would all say the same thing, correct? Right? Like, you know, James 4:17. Maybe we better stick it on our fridge, right? So are people seeing the truth in us, right? Are they noticing more negative qualities than positive qualities in us? So as we leave, as we end this chapter, as we end this whole book, right? There's some hope, all right? Your testimony isn't done yet. Your testimony isn't finished yet. If you and I have things to work on, we still have time to work on. We don't know if Diotrephes repented. Wouldn't it be something, right? We meet Diotrephes one day. Hey, Diotrephes. Diotrephes, what are you doing here? Hang on, right? I had a change of heart. I read 3 John, right? And he heard what God was saying to him through others. Wouldn't that be marvelous, right? But John talks about someone else. He talks about Demetrius. He says, he's a man of integrity. You can vouch for him, right? His testimony is solid. And so I think the way why John brings that up, he's kind of like, you know what? Who do you want to be, right? Do you want to be the Gaiuses or the Demetriuses? Or do you want to be known as the Diotrephes, right? Those kinds of guys. And if we have some negative things in our life that we need to work on, thank the Lord, we've allowed this word to correct us and reprove us and help us to live a better life and finish with a better testimony that gives glory to God. So it's a good question to ask ourselves this morning. What's our testimony so far, right? What's our testimony so far? Are we known as positive, encouraging, strong, walking in the truth, people of God? Or have we gotten a little careless and developed some negative tendencies that we need to ask God's forgiveness for and to work on these things? I mean, John says we can either do good or evil. And there's no in between, right? We're either doing good or we're doing evil. And we all have a current testimony, and we all are going to have a final testimony one day. So again, do people speak of how we're walking with God now? And will they speak about our walking in the truth when our story is finally over? So the letter was written about three men, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And while it applies to men, obviously, but it applies to all of us, doesn't it? Men and women alike, right? Think about your current testimony. Are we people who are walking in the truth? And John said he had no greater joy than to hear that God's people were walking in the truth. And I pray that we are rejoicing in each other because we are walking in the truth. And may all speak well of us because the truth of God's word is the foundation of our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for 3 John. Maybe it's something we haven't read in a while. And we thank you for this testimony that, and the challenge that the Apostle John gives us. Lord, help us to take stock of our life and just to say, hey, what are some areas in which I need to work on? Maybe I can self-reproof and self-correct myself and to help us walk closer with you and to be people who walk in the truth. Help us to be noticing more noticeable of each other and the needs around us. Help us be more open to be hospitable to each other, people we know, but also to people who we don't know. But if they know Jesus, what a great opportunity to get to know people. And if they don't know the Lord, hey, great opportunity to help them understand who we are and who Jesus is. Father, thank you again for the challenge this morning. Help us to think about our testimony, about our own testimony as to how we will finish, how we want to finish in this life. And Lord willing, I pray it's walking in the truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.